beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
By the grace of God, we've been able to look at the nine attitudes to be beatitudes of it. And these are attitudes that every born-again child of God is meant to, you know, possess and manifest. Those were just introductions, and we trust God to help everyone listener to go study more, and we appreciate your feedback. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
All right, and if you look at verse 12, it says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before." Now, when we look at verse 11, the last beatitude, where blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil things against you falsely for my sake. We see persecution coming up there. And then, verse 12, we are told to rejoice for what? Being persecuted. It makes us understand something that is a very important part of our Christian walk, and it is called persecution. The church over the years has become so seeker sensitive and so comfort driven that we no longer talk about persecution. In fact, we hate persecution. And the moment they start persecuting us, we start fighting back. Jesus never told us to fight back when we are persecuted. He told us to rejoice when we are persecuted. And we see Christians are always on the defensive, on the attack, when we get persecuted. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus spoke about persecution more than once in this particular verse, chapter. It makes us understand how important persecution is to our Christian faith. It's extremely important, it's pertinent, and it's something that defines us as Christians. So in other words, if we are not being persecuted, that means we are not Christians. If we are not being persecuted, it means that we are not living the life of Christ. So one of the proofs to show that we are living the life of Christ is that we are persecuted. Amen to Jesus. Now, you can be born again, but not be persecuted. That does not nullify the fact that you are born again, but it just shows that you are not yet living the life of Christ. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, so it's possible to be born again. Yeah, when we get born again, the work of the Father is an eternal work. Jesus gave us an eternal salvation. So we are eternally, you know, saved. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
According to the work that Jesus did. And so, but if you get born again, you can just even go to heaven the moment you get born again. It's all good. But the actual fact is that Jesus did not just save us so we just go to heaven. Are you getting what I'm saying? He didn't just save us so we'll go to heaven. That salvation to heaven is an escapist mentality. And we're not saved to be escapists. We're saved to do what? To reveal Christ here on earth. And if we must reveal Christ here on earth, it must be revealed by persecution.
Yes.
Persecution is what reveals that we are revealing Christ. So it's something that we need to embrace as children of God. It's something that we need to come to terms with. It is not an easy thing. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
It's not easy, but it's something we must what? Embrace. He must embrace, because why? Jesus said something. He said, so persecuted the prophets which were before you. So in other words, he's trying to make us understand that persecution is not new. And we understand that persecution entails it means to make one to run or flee, to put to flight, to drive away. Are we together? The Christians were driven away. In fact, Saul drove them away from town, and they had to run to Damascus. Amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
So being driven away for the sake of Christ is not new. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, there are people who have been run out of town because of Christ. Praise God forevermore. They've been
exiled.
They've been exiled because of Christ. Amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and when it means to run away or to put to flight, it's actually something that you don't actually most of the time plan for,
mm-hmm.
but the pressure requires you do that.
Yes.
Amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
And when you are doing that, you are not to be grumbling and not to be murmuring. In fact, it's for a good cause you are leaving town. It's for a good cause you are running out of time. You know, I heard this of a particular man of God in this mission field where we are, who based on the so much pressures that were on him, he had to leave his country and traveled out of his country to go and live for a while. And that man of God, one of his sons, was the one who went to meet him there and told him, you have to come back home, you know. And you see, we may have justifiable reasons to persecute people, but you see, so long as they are standing for Christ, our reasons, no matter how justifiable they may be, they are still persecution before God. Are we together?
Yes.
And the actual fact is that the person you are persecuting will be rewarded for the persecution he's receiving. And you, who is persecuting, you have no reward for the persecution. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Most likely, you have a judgment for the persecution. Praise God forevermore. And so, persecution is something that we do not like, but we are told to rejoice when we have been persecuted. Why should we rejoice? How will you be happy about something that is not nice? You see, if you look at the way Jesus went about his operations, you discover that the things that are meant to make us happy are the things he doesn't even focus on being happy about. The things that are meant to make us, in quotes, sad are the things that he says we should rejoice about. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And that's why, as a born-again child of God, the actual fact is that we do not live our lives to be happy. We live our lives to fulfill the call of God. We live our life to fulfill why Christ called us. But Jesus told us, take up your cross and follow me. Taking up your cross, is it a happy event? Is it a happy activity? Is it a happy action? You see, one of the things that ravaged the church today is happy people. Happy people. And we just want to be happy. We want to catch fun, we want to catch a thrill, we want to be excited. God does not want you to be sad. Are you getting what I'm saying? God does not want you to be melancholy and morose, but God wants you to rejoice. And rejoicing does not come from the excitement of life. Rejoicing comes from the persecution for following Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, when we look at the child of God, what makes the unbeliever rejoice is not what makes us rejoice. What makes the unbeliever sad is what should make us rejoice. Because the unbeliever does not want to be persecuted. In fact, the unbeliever does not want to leave his comfort zone. Are you getting what I'm saying? Imagine the first church who had to leave their comfort zone, go to Damascus, start a new life, all afresh, all because they were persecuted. You have stayed in a country, in a place for all your life, and suddenly you have to leave there because you have been persecuted. Oh, what about the one of the Roman emperors who set Christians as torchlights in the city, burnt them on sticks, and they became the torchlights in the city? What about Perpetua, who was thrown into this before animals in their circles. Christians were thrown before lions, before bears and every of that. They were used for circles. We are not saying, you know, these are things that we should desire. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But we must remember that these people, they rejoiced for this persecution. Most of them are made to flee the city. Most of them are made to flee their comfort zone. Most of them are made to suffer unnecessary things. In Kulem is the word unnecessary things. You know, I was reading about somebody today who had to face off with Hitler, Adolf Hitler, because he believed in the suffering for Christ and believed that in the cross. And this, and for him, what Hitler was doing to humanity was against the cross. Are we together? And he stood up against Hitler. And at the end of the day, he was hung to death. He was a Christian. He believed in the cross. He believed in the suffering of Christ. He believed that what Christ stood for was not what Hitler was standing for. Although Hitler made people believe that he was fighting for Christ. He was killing the Jews because they killed Jesus, you know. And but this man knew that this was not what Jesus wanted. And he stood against Hitler. And he was hung to death at the age of 39. At the age of 39, he was hung to death. What a persecuted folk. What a way of living this earth. What a way of ending his assignment. But he stood for Christ. You see, when you are persecuted, it's not an exciting thing. It's not an interesting thing. And the church today, the church we have today, I doubt we can face persecution because it's highly seeker sensitive, highly need driven, highly happiness oriented. God wants you to be happy Christianity. God wants you to be excited Christianity. God even doesn't want you to be persecuted. You see, so that's why when they are persecuting you, stand up and start fighting them back.
Trashing
the issues. You know, why should you run? Stand and fight. Fight. Use every legal powers within your power to fight. Use the social media. Use everything within your ability to trash the issue back. Why should you flee? But funny enough, the people who began this work, they fled. Amen to Jesus. We thank God for the church has been empowered in recent time. We thank God for the power the church has been given. We bless God for every of that. But you see, we must realize that our true rejoicing is in what? Is in our suffering for Christ. That's our true rejoicing. Our true rejoicing is our suffering for Christ. He said, rejoice. Don't just only did he say rejoice. He said, and be what? Exceedingly glad. So it's a double emphasis here. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
To rejoice actually means to be glad. Are we together? To rejoice means to rejoice exceedingly. So when he says to rejoice, it's enough. Rejoice is more than enough because rejoicing entails gladness. Are you getting what I'm saying? And rejoicing entails exceeding gladness. But Jesus put a double emphasis here. Now, when you look at the double, whenever there's a double emphasis on something in scriptures, it makes you know how cogent and how extremely important that thing is. It's something that cannot be overlooked. Amen to Jesus. When a double negative is used in scriptures, nay, not when things like that are used, it's a basis of emphasis to make us know that this thing is something we should give attention to. So for Jesus to say rejoice and be exceeding glad, it means it is important and we must give attention to it. But the question we have today is, are we giving attention to persecution? Are we giving attention to persecution as the body of Christ, as Christians? Are we giving attention to what? To persecution. This is a very important thing we need to take note of. And why did he say we should rejoice? He says, for great is your reward. Great is your reward. You know, the reward here is the dues paid for work. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the B part. Now, so one by one, we must have reward mentality. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Say without faith, beginning part, say without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And then number two is a what? Rewarder of them that are diligently seeking. So that means if we are actually operating in faith, we must have a reward mentality. And the reward that God has for us, amen to Jesus, is the reward for the work we do. The wages for the work we do. And our reward is eternal, not time-bound. God gives us benefit in time, but his reward is eternal. Are we together?
Yes.
And what is our reward? The Bible says it's our exceeding and great reward. Our reward is God himself. It says, God told Abraham, I am thy exceeding and great reward. Amen to Jesus.
Yes.
So that was, more often than not, we look at the reward that God gave to Abraham for his faith to be Isaac. Are we together?
Yeah.
But that was not the reward that God gave Abraham for his sake, for his faith. Are we together? The reward that God gave Abraham for his sake was himself. God gave himself to Abraham. He told Abraham, I am the exceeding and great reward. So the reward for persecution we receive is God himself. It's not things. Let's always remember something, that Abraham had wealth before the promise came. Are we together?
Mm-hmm.
So wealth was not the reward. Wealth is too infinitesimal to be our reward for persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Are we together? And the church has gotten it twisted over the years, and it's messing our minds up. And so there has to be a refocus on what is right. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
If Abraham had wealth before the promise came, it means that wealth is not the promise. Are you hear what I'm saying? And wealth is not the reward for obedience to the command of God. If we begin to see wealth as a reward, then we have gotten it messed up. And that is where Mammon comes in. Mammon wants us to see what is not reward as a reward. And that's why we see that Christians today, they always look for something tangible, physical, earthly and carnal, as God's reward for them, what? Obeying him. Praise God forevermore. But God's reward for us is bigger than tangible things. It's bigger than physical things. It's bigger than earthly things. God, if God rewards us with tangible physical things and everything, then he has limited his reward to time. And if he limits his reward to time, then we have no value in eternity. And Paul said it like this, he said, if it's in this life alone we have hope in Christ, we have all men most what?
Miserable.
So that time conscious, that time limited rewards mentality and system makes us have hope in Christ only in this time. And that has made us most what? Miserable. That's how we see that Christians are getting more miserable. And in fact, Christianity is getting more miserable, because the more we seek to get rewards that are time bound, the more we get more miserable trying to get the reward. But God never promised us a reward that is time bound. God promised us the reward which is himself. He is our reward. So when we are persecuted, we should rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Because God is our reward. That is why the saints of old could die for this gospel. That is why the first apostles could die, because they had already received their reward in time, transiting it into eternity. So they could die in time for it. Why can't we die for this gospel in time? Because for us, we have not even received the reward for the gospel. God, this gospel I've been doing, you have not even rewarded me. God, there's nothing to show for this gospel. There's nothing to show. I have been serving you. There's nothing to show. The devil has messed our mind up, seriously. What do you have to show for serving the Lord? No husband, no wife, no money, no car, no this. Nothing to show for serving the Lord. This is where the devil has messed us up. The spirit of Mammon has messed our mind up. God is too big to reward us with things. He's too big. He's too God to reward us with things. He's too God. That's why he rewards us with himself.
Hallelujah.
And when God becomes your reward, persecution becomes a joy.
Yes.
And rejoicing. You become exceedingly glad in persecution, because you are already getting more of God. So when you see people persecute you, and you just discover that, hey, it was because of the beatitudes that are persecuting you. The attitudes to be, you are revealing that here, and they are persecuting you. Oh, just say, Lord, so it means, man, I'm getting more of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having more of you.
I'm
getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting more of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having you more. And we can never have him enough.
Yes.
We can just but have him more. And have him more and more. And keep having him more and more. He is our exceeding and great reward. That is why we are to rejoice in persecution. The prophets of old were ready to die. What did they have? What did Elijah have? What did Elisha have? What did Jeremiah have? Jeremiah said, these things like fire shut up in my bone. When I say I don't want to speak, it will not allow me to keep quiet. What did they have? Somebody said something. He said, no prophet in the old was sent to make anybody rich. All the prophet came with a warning from God. They came with a warning from God. No prophet of old was sent to give the Jews more houses, more cars, more money, more husband, more wife, and everything. No. And we are prophets in the New Testament, and we really want to hold our office as prophets. No prophets of old actually had what we have today. We are not saying we should go back there. You get what I'm saying? But we are saying we should learn something. That these prophets, the Bible says, it says what? It says, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. These prophets had nothing to show for prophetic ministry. Today, if you are a prophet, you must have so many things to show for prophetic ministry. If you are a man of God, you must have 20 things to show for being a man of God. The cars, the houses, and everything. You see, when I preach now, these people feel that I don't understand where they're coming from. There was a time in my life where I preach money from the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, if you pick up Genesis to Revelation, I'll preach money out of it. It was that serious that there was a particular gentleman in the fellowship of the attorney. He told me, I became afraid for you. I thought you were derailing. And I told him, no, it was just an avalanche. He looked at me and like, what kind of person is this? I said, it was just a phase in my life. Now, if you tell me to preach money from the Bible, I can't preach money from the Bible. I can't preach money from the Bible. But that time I preach from Genesis to Revelation, I preach money from the Bible. There's nothing that people are saying that I've not seen. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's nothing they're saying about these things they're saying that I've not seen. But I've come to understand, and I'm getting more closer to God. The more closer you get to God, the more these things don't make sense to you. The more they don't make sense. The more you know God as your reward. Nothing. The prophets of old were persecuted. The prophets of old did not have what we are calling the proof of what? Of the Beatitudes. So how did we get here? It means that we've missed something. They enjoyed persecution because they already had more of God on earth. Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And when he's about to die, he said, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the course. Why was he saying this? Because he had the reward of God so much on earth, waiting to transit to the fullness of the reward. And when he was about to die, he said, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. I've gotten so much reward here on earth. I'm waiting to transit to heaven so I can get the fullness of the reward. You see Christians who don't want to even die now, because they have not gotten all the houses they want, all the cars they want, all the wife, all the husband, all the whatsoever they want, because for them that is the fullness of the reward. But it's a satanic and mammonic spirit to believe that your reward is mammon. Our reward can never be mammon. Our reward is God. So when we are persecuted, what do? We don't just only rejoice. We doubly rejoice. We are what? Exceedingly glad. Because it shows that we are getting more of God. And we are getting closer to knowing more of God. I pray for us, and I believe everybody wants to pray, that we would what? Become more conscious of our reward. Amen. Who is God. You can pray that prayer this morning. Lord, make me more conscious of my
beloved. Thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available. To give in dollars, you can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 033-154-55-12013. With SWIFT code MBGHGA. HAC. And to give in cedis, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 033-254-551-2017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria. Account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233-54-594-7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.